Momentum Men is brought to you by ReUp, the creators of resources to disciple men like Jesus did, educating, encouraging, and empowering men to grow in Christ and disciple others. Featuring a platform filled with men's Bible studies for individuals or groups. Men, living by His life. Learn more at reuppodcast.com. ReUp, proud sponsor of Momentum Australia.
You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
I have an accountability partner by the name of David. We've been friends for 20 years. He's on my board of directors. We've had countless conversations that have started with the sentence, "I've never told anybody this before, but," which there's an implicit trust there, but it did not happen overnight.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Des.
Okay, well, welcome to this week's Momentum. Once again, so good to have you tuning in wherever you might be right now, whether that's in Australia, somewhere around the world, having a listen to us. Really great to have you here with us as we step into another awesome show. Super excited about this show. We'll get to that in just a moment. As always, never alone on this journey. Des Kennedy, my co-host, good friend, is with us. How are you today, my Irish friend? Are you well?
Yeah, all is well in this world. So, really good.
We as men, we're going to talk a bit about this today, but we as men, we do tend to lean towards life in isolation, and that can really hurt us on so many levels. So please do not feel like you've got no one to reach out to. If the bare minimum, reach out to the KLN if you need a desperate conversation, 1-800-000-636, or reach out to us at momentumaustralia.org, and we can try and connect you with guys wherever you might be around the country. You know, accountability, it's a big word. It's often heard in church circles. Many of us continue to do life, though, without someone holding us accountable to the things that we say and or do.
So how do we become accountable and find the right person or people to hold us accountable?
Yeah, great questions. We're going to explore this as we are joined once again on Momentum by David Dusek, who heads up the men's ministry Rough Cut Men. That's roughcutmen.org, based in Florida in the US, and once again joins us on Momentum. It's great to have you back, David.
I am so happy to be back with you guys. It's great.
We first had you on the show last year, and we talked about the fact that there's synchronicity and the fact that we just want to help guys. And, you know, we're thrilled to continue doing the journey with you. And I know that you've been to Oz since we last spoke, which has been really fantastic, sowing into the guys here in Australia as well. Actually, maybe we can just quickly start there and just say, how did you feel the response was from the guys here in Australia?
I wish we had more time. I mean, honestly, we originally set out to do a 2-week run in November that quickly turned into a 3-week run in November, because we're wholly funded here in the States. So there was no need to charge anything to go and do events everywhere. And so the need was great, but the response, I'm still getting emails and Facebook messages and texts from the guys that forget that I'm 15 hours behind them. from guys that are just still raving about one part or another. I now know that there are at least a dozen small groups that formed as a result of our last run in July and November through Australia as well. And that's what it's all about. You know, I would rather encounter the same guys 20 years from now and have them say, you know, when you came through town, we formed a 5-man team and we're still together 20 years later. That's really what it's all about. It was a fantastic trip, and we were everywhere. We went from coast to coast.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, they're the stories that we want to hear, David. I mean, it's exactly that. It's men getting connected and not doing life in isolation and being connected for a number of reasons. And as we're going to explore on the show this week, one of those is accountability. So let me start off the bat and say, from your experience, and you know, you've been traveling a lot, you've seen a lot of men's groups, you've been in a lot of churches, spoken to a lot of guys, how crucial, vital, important is accountability for men on their journey?
Accountability is absolutely critical. If you take the illustration of guys in a combat situation, everybody does a buddy check. Do you have enough magazines? Do you have water in your canteen? Do you have weapons, helmet, everything? Do you have what you need in the field? And nobody gets offended by that, because they know that the other man is looking out for their best interest. The same thing occurs all the time in this world where we have an enemy. The Bible says in John 10 wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He's figured out if I can ruin the guy, I can ruin the marriage, the kids, and really the generational legacy that comes after him with a single shot. If I can take the guy out, I can ruin everything. And so that's really the nuts and bolts of why it's so critically important to have it. Why men don't is an entirely different story.
Why do men not like to have that accountability in their life?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. First and foremost, you mentioned church, Tim, when you started, you know, it's in the, we've all heard the accountability word in church circles. And it's really, in my opinion, one of the most maligned words in the church, because as soon as guys hear the word accountability, it conjures up these images of somebody else scrolling through their internet history or asking them what they're thinking about or invading their bank statement, you know, to see where they're spending their money. And it's immediately off-putting. And one of the other reasons why men are so resistant to it is because we throw them immediately in the deep end. We walk up to some guy and say, thank you for joining our small group. I want to hold you accountable. And that just makes people run. You know, hey, you need accountability. Do you know you need accountability? That is not the right way to do it. Let's put it that way. And there's a myriad of reasons why we need it. And I think one of the things that's happened to the word accountability is there's an immediate connotation that it's something bad. Don't look at this. Don't read that. Oh, for the love of God, don't watch that. Don't read those books. Don't do this. And really, accountability is not that. It's giving another man permission, and it's mutual. It's reciprocal that he will call you into account anytime your words or actions don't line up with who you say you are in Christ. And if you go off the rails, he says, dude, you're off the rails. But there are times when men can get off the rails, especially in the world of church, in the land of the 80-20 rule, where 20% of the men do 80% of the work. When you get asked to serve in the church, most of the time, no is kind of a four-letter word. You know, you come up and say, hey, will you lead the youth? Can you run the parking, the car park team? Can you direct traffic? Can you be a greeter this week? And we'll just say yes until our arms fall off because they've asked us to do it. And it's very possible to get caught up doing too many good things and get thrown out of balance. Leading 7 or 8 Bible studies, like one of my really good friends was leading 7 different Bible studies, but didn't have a single date night plugged into his calendar anywhere. And how many times have we seen churches fall apart because a pastor loses his marriage because he focused so much on the marriages in the congregation that he forgot to focus on his own? I mean, those things are very real and happen a lot. So accountability is not, don't do this, don't do that. It's really giving permission to another man to help us stay in balance, to keep our life in check, to make sure that our marriage and our children come first, because that's our number one ministry, and that everything else falls second to that. And anytime that's out of whack, he can call us out. And we can't get mad at him. We can't get mad at him because he gave us permission. You know, I'm in a circumstance right now that's just financial whirlwind of massive big ticket items. Had to buy tires for both cars in the same week. And then we had a $2,800 emergency room bill from the hospital show up. And now, as I was telling you guys before the show, we've got a $18,000-ish bathroom repair that's going on that we didn't even know we needed to do. And I was lamenting my circumstances with my accountability partner. And his response was, David, when has God ever let you down financially before? And you know, when you're compromised and you're caught in the whirlwind of emotion, a lot of times you lose your common sense and you start to think irrationally and you lose sight of what's really important or who God really is. And sometimes all we need is another guy to say, you know, have you really forgotten how far God's brought you?
It's good.
That's David, the type of accountability that I think a lot of guys need.
Let me just get back to the resistance around accountability, because I think the truth is we can all agree that's probably one of the biggest struggles for guys. And I mean, even for us on this call, you know, we've had moments where we've done life before we had the light globe piece, where we didn't have accountability. We didn't have men in our lives. We were lone rangers and we were just doing our thing. So we know the benefits of it. But for a lot of guys, it is a struggle to actually go, hey, I'm going to get someone to hold me accountable. Let's try and unpack as to some of the deep things as to why that is. Is it as grown men that we don't want to be told, we don't want to be held to account? That means we might have to change, we might have to grow, and we're not sure what that looks like. At least if I'm not accountable to anyone, I can kind of let myself off the hook a little bit. Like, what do you think it is that holds guys away from that space?
I think before you even get into the hyper-spiritual side of it, we're conditioned. I mean, it's countercultural to need another guy. I mean, it really is. It's the culture was, and the way I was raised is, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, I got this. You know, I can do this. There's very little that we can't do by ourselves. My dad is 87 and he still does do-it-yourself projects at home. Like last time I was there, he had the entire kitchen torn apart trying to unplug a drain in the sink. And I'm like, why don't you just hire someone to do it? He said, because I'm the right man for the job, because I'm going to do it right. And he had no help. He's just tearing this thing apart all by himself. And I think that's just, and that's the way I was raised. And I think generationally, we've got a generation of guys like me who, the generation before me, were raised by World War II veterans who were all man's men, the greatest generation, you know, don't mess with me. Then we've got my generation, which were more latchkey kids. You know, we were the Gen X type, we're self-sustaining. And I got this, I can do it, I can fix anything on my own. And then we moved into the double income families where the empty kids would go home to empty houses. So they had to fend for themselves. So at that point, I think culturally, we're just trained to operate by ourselves and not to need anybody else. In fact, culturally, it's a sign of weakness for the most part if you say you need help.
Yeah. I was just about to say, is the shame play a part in that?
I don't think there's any doubt about it because we have a culture that has flipped everything 180 degrees. And God forbid you ask somebody else for help. There's nothing more humbling than being a nonprofit ministry because I'm used to going out and making my own money. And suddenly you have to shelve your pride because you're being funded to do missions work in other places. And so every dime you have comes from God providing that through somebody else. And you have to swallow your pride and know that you need these people in order to move forward. And the same thing is true in any operation, in our work situation. Yet we try to do marriage all by ourselves. We try to father all by ourselves with no counsel, no friends, no experience, no mentor. And you get what you get when you try to do things on your own.
Yeah, I don't know what the percentage is of dads who don't have a mentor father figure in their lives, but it's very high. And so they wouldn't have anybody they can look to support them and help them and encourage them and so forth in their world.
No. And my own father's dad walked out on him when he was, I think, 12 years old. And so from that point on, his mom was cutting hair during the Depression and he was out, you know, or World War II, that era. And he was out working with a paper route on a bicycle, delivering the newspapers. And he was one of the breadwinners in the family. And I think that's why he is the way that he is because he didn't have someone, a father figure, to really lead him and guide him through all this stuff. And he did a wonderful job with me, but it was funny because every time he would go fix something, he'd say, come here. And I'd like, I don't want to. He said, you're coming with me. And so my wife is always fascinated by the fact that I can rewire an entire house. And she says, how do you know how to do that? Well, my dad made me hold the flashlight. You know, I had to hold the torch the whole time. Most people don't have that. You know, I think my dad did what he did so that I didn't end up feeling like he did. So I think he probably overdid it. You know, he made up for his life. But I think culturally, it's not a priority. In fact, it's antithetical to the priority. It's the exact opposite.
We're talking accountability on this week's show with David Doucet. We're going to take a short break and come back and look at how we can actually implement accountability in our lives with others. In the meantime, though, we're going to take a short break. Encourage you to have a look around David Doucet's Rough Cut Men's Ministry website. That's roughcutmen.org. And of course, keep in mind, MomentumAustralia.org. As we go to a short break on this week's Momentum, we're going to be back with David Doucet in just a moment.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
Welcome back to part two of this week's show. We've got David Doucet with us this week from Rough Cut Men talking about accountability. The website for David, roughcutmen.org. Encourage you to have a look around there. There is a bunch of resources on there that will help you out. And of course, our Momentum Australia website, momentumaustralia.org. for you to have a look around and help you on your journey. But let's get back into this week's show with David Doucette, talking about accountability.
So, David, in the conversations you have with men and men's groups, how do you persuade men that they need to have somebody else alongside them, an accountability partner and so forth? What's that process?
Well, there is a process. And the first part of it is it's kind of like having a bad relationship and breaking up with a girlfriend and saying and swearing off women forever. I'm never going out with another girl again as long as I live. And that's what a lot of men have done when it comes to accountability. They've been burned by somebody in the church. They trusted their confidence to someone else. And then suddenly he was in the bulletin as a prayer need, you know, and so his confidence was completely violated. So he's not going to get back on into the game, because God forbid that happened to him twice. And so that's one thing that ultimately happens. So really the first step is to get back in the game. And I have an accountability partner by the name of David. We've been friends for 20 years. He's on my board of directors. The guy is all up in my business everywhere. He has access to everything in my life. We've had countless conversations that have started with the sentence, "I've never told anybody this before, but," which there's an implicit trust there, but it did not happen overnight. It was something that you pay out a little bit of line to somebody, and I will trust you to a greater degree when I know that the confidence is high and that I won't be, that will not be jeopardized at all. And so it's a long journey, but the journey, every journey begins with the first step, which is go grab a coffee with somebody or whatever it is you like to do, just go do it. Go play golf, go fishing, whatever it is you like to do, just take somebody with you, because at some point the conversation transitions from the superficial to the, hey, I'm really struggling with this. I get a lot of emails and text messages and Facebook, social media stuff. Because guys have seen me on a platform and I've been very candid and transparent with them. So they feel like they know me. So once they feel that they know me, now the playing field is level and they can share their train wreck with me because I shared mine with them. And I think that's really where the door opens to accountability, is through transparency. If you're real about your life with someone else, you just vicariously give them permission to respond in kind. If your life appears perfect and you never show any struggles whatsoever, then they're going to feel like you're not a safe place because you have it all figured out. And I can't compare to that guy because my life is a mess. So that's another thing that will open the door. And I think that's where we've fallen short, in the church world, not to disparage the organized church in general, but we have relegated our men's groups to a joke, a Saturday morning, burnt pancakes, two testimonies, and a prayer. And when we do that, that never creates an environment longer than 45 minutes to ever develop a conversation. If we're constantly, okay, we're going to eat here, we're going to do the devotion here, we're going to do this, and then we're going to dismiss. We don't create an environment that's conducive to just developing trust. And trust is where trust is the linchpin to all accountability. Without it, you can never have it.
Mm. Yeah, I think it is a huge thing. And I think, you know, if we're not doing that as a church or encouraging that as a church for men to go and have that conversation, if it's one-on-one outside of church, you know, guys are really missing out in that opportunity. I think, David, from that perspective, for guys listening then who go, okay, I want to get somebody in my life. I see the benefits. I hear the benefits. I don't have somebody at the moment. I'm going to go and do this. I mean, it's crucial who we approach in that moment, right? Because as you said, trust is a big thing, and that develops for sure. But how do we go looking for accountability partners? Do we just someone that we're already friends with, somebody that we've seen that we admire, that might be somebody a little older as a mentor? Like, what are your thoughts around finding somebody?
There are different levels of accountability. There's the superior subordinate kind of accountability where one man is the mentor and the other one is the mentee. But the one piece that I've found to be just really valuable in my life is the peer-to-peer accountability. There's no superior subordinate. No one knows more than the other guy. But finding that person really requires an investment. It's not just you're going to find guys that are complete duds. Let's put it that way. Not to sound weird, but it's kind of like a dating relationship. Mm. You're going to be in a small group with 20 dudes and you'll say, okay, you know, I like this guy. We got a lot in common. We both like to play golf. We like to whatever. But then you find out that every time you tell him one of your problems, he ends up trying to solve it. Or one of the most off-putting things in the world, and I'm very, you know, I'm in the word every day, but when my struggle is immediately the return fire is a scripture verse. I know how to find a scripture verse, and there's a right time for it and there's the wrong time for it. When I've just dropped my guard and been real, I don't want to hear Romans 8:28. I just want you to share airspace with me and listen to what I'm saying. And you'll find sometimes that they're just the wrong guy. You know, it's, hey, this is great. I enjoyed this coffee, but there's something about this guy. My spirit doesn't feel right. I don't think we're a good fit. And so you have to get back in the saddle again, like I said at the beginning. Maybe it's the wrong guy. Maybe you got burned by somebody. Try again, but do it with someone that resonates with you from a different perspective. And as the conversations organically grow, you go from, I know ours have gone from challenges with kids, because at one point I had 5 and he had 3 girls that were younger than mine. So there was a season where he would come to me and say, you know, is it normal for they're in middle school, you know, they're 13. Is it normal for their head to just start spinning around uncontrollably? It's like, yeah, it's perfectly normal. They're just lost their mind. They're going to get up in the morning and think they're the ugliest person in the world because that's a middle school girl. So I was able to walk him through that season because I had already been through that season, you know, and that's one of the real tactical advantages to accountability, especially if you've got somebody that's already, you know, kind of blaze that trail for you. They can help you not make mistakes. They can also help you, in my case, communicate better. Because when you're emotionally compromised in a discussion that's heated with your wife, you're no longer, now you're on the defense and you're not hearing her anymore. And I've had my accountability partner call me out multiple times over food saying, hey, I understand what you're trying to say. I understand what she's trying to say, but, you know, I'm going old school. You're speaking in FM and she's got an AM receiver. And so it's not working. So why don't you take what you're trying to say and present it this way? And he gave me a different tactic to say the exact same thing. And I tried it and it was completely disarming and we lived happily ever after. Not really, but I mean, it was one of those circumstances where I could not get through a conversation with my wife without us butting heads. And he helped me. But again, this is a relationship that's been 20 years in the making and started in the most improbable way and became what it is today through a series of trials as we walked each other through a lot of different struggles and loss and losses of businesses. And I mean, all these things we went through, the underlying foundation of all of it is I know I can go to him with absolutely anything and know that it will stop with him. There will be no rebuke. There will be no judgment. There will be no reproach. He will walk me through what I'm going through and he is a safe place. But I've also encountered a whole lot of not safe places in the church where I've regretted telling people stuff. And maybe there's a guy listening right now that says, I would never do that again because that guy jacked me up. You just have to try again. Because there are good men out there that are just, and all of us are in some sort of peril, whether it's financial, marital, raising kids, prodigal kids, we all are dealing with something.
David, from your perspective then, this guy sounds like he would be your closest person.
Yeah.
Are there others? Or do you only really need that one person that you can be brutally honest with?
I kind of have my life built like Jesus had his life built, I guess. I've got my, you know, my fist bump guys at church that I see on Sunday. Mm. I go to a 18,000 member church, so it's obviously you don't know everybody. You end up likely your tightest group are going to be the guys that you're serving with, whatever it is, whether it's worship team or you're an usher or, you know, leading a small group. That's kind of your core, but that's really more like the 12 disciples that Jesus had. And then Jesus had Peter, James, and John anytime he went out to do anything really cool. And that's a group I have online of four other speakers, and we meet once a week virtually because we're all in different states here in the US, but we all do the same thing. And that was the one piece that I discovered with my accountability partner that he did not understand, is he didn't understand what it was like to be an itinerant speaker who travels all over the place and spends nights in hotels and speaks to random groups of people all over the world and then goes home and has to resume the role of spiritual leader and husband and father and all those things. And it just happened that I was at an event, a leadership event, and I was sitting next to another speaker who I really respected. And I did a talk on accountability. And he said, you know, I don't have that. And I said, well, let's do something about that. And so we formed about 3 years ago, this online group. So I have four guys that I can tell anything to in the world that live in different states. I do it virtually. We've never met. Well, we've been in the same place as like the morning and the afternoon keynote speaker at an event, but we haven't spent any long periods of time together other than once a week. We are on an hour-long Zoom call and we just go right for the throat. I mean, it's just, I get called out, they get called out, and they understand me and I understand them. And then there's David is my one. So, I mean, I look at Jesus having 72 disciples down to 12, down to three, down to John, you know, his one, or David and Jonathan, that kind of a model. So I have my superstructure built a lot like Jesus did, in that I have different compartments. And a lot of guys are comfortable stopping at the 72. That's my church. I go on Sunday. I live a compartmentalized life. I do sports, you know, the sport and coaching and everything on Saturday. Monday through Friday, I'm at work. Sunday's my church day. And there's so much more to it than that. You know, to have guys in your life that will just, I got a call yesterday from a guy I haven't heard from in a while. He's on my board. And he said, hey, I am just checking in because I know this giant bathroom repair that you have going on has been overwhelming. How are you doing? I mean, just out of nowhere. And you have no idea, guys. Maybe Tim, Des, maybe you do, but maybe some of the guys listening, you just don't know the power of affirmation, the power of just, hey, I'm just checking in to make sure you're good. And when someone opens the door and says, hey, I'm checking to make sure you're good, that gives me a green light to say, I'm not. You know? And that's exactly how the conversation went. I turned into a five-year-old little girl with pigtails crying on the phone about all the struggles I was in because I knew that he genuinely cared or he wouldn't have called.
A final thought, David, because I mean, there'll be men listening who go, that sounds great. That's just not my experience. I don't have that. I kind of want that, but I kind of don't. And I'm a little scared to step into that space. I'm apprehensive. I have been burnt before, or just I'm scared to let my guard down with another mate. Some final thoughts around that, David, for the guys listening who go, yeah, I've heard the last 29 minutes. It sounds pretty good. I hear your experience. I don't have that. I kind of want it, but I'm not sure.
Hey, if you don't want to let your guard down, the one piece of counsel I would have for you is don't. Just allow the conversation to flow organically. It's no different than dating the woman who becomes your wife. I mean, it took a long time to develop enough trust, at least in my case, for Joni to say yes. You know, so really just go do stuff with guys. I mean, you don't have to approach this as the end game being accountability. We all need friends. We've all forgotten how to make them right around grade school. We're also caught up in our own little universes that we really don't have time for other people. But it's not rocket science because, as my friend Pat Morley puts it, rockets don't get divorced. Rockets don't have marital blowups and have children and everything else. Rocket science is actually easier than what we're trying to do as fathers and husbands. I mean, it's a struggle. But if you've been burned by somebody, the thing I would advocate you do is just go do something with somebody. I find my comfort zone is sitting in this office that I'm in right now all by myself. And the enemy loves it because he loves to lie to me, and the bathroom is literally right across the hall that's completely destroyed right now. So when I have to go to the bathroom, I can't even use the wrecked bathroom. So I get reminded of that huge financial struggle that I'm in. And maybe you're listening and God's put on your heart somebody you haven't heard from in a while. And never, never underestimate the power of just checking in on someone, because a lot of the guys that I know, myself included, we didn't get that affirmation from our fathers. So we've gotten used to living in a negative space where we don't get affirmation. But words of encouragement don't cost a thing. The tongue has the power to bring life and bring death. All we got to do is just pick up the phone and call somebody. And maybe that's a start. If you're listening and you're like, I don't even know where to begin. I want that. I need that. I don't trust anybody. Reach out and call somebody and just give them some kind words, because if God puts them on your heart, then they're on the other end needing what you have to say. Mm. And you're valuable and you're important. And every man is. You are not in this journey alone. And sometimes the best way to crack into a relationship is to just reach out and give somebody a phone call or shoot them a text and say, hey, man, just thinking about you, making sure you're all right.
It's an important conversation, accountability, and look, connection in general, really, is what we're talking about today. Connection, relationship, and accountability with David Dusek from Rough Cut Men's Ministries. Roughcutmen.org is his website. Encourage you to have a look around that. And of course, check out our website too at MomentumAustralia.org. We'd love to hear from you if you need. And of course, if you can financially support us, please do reach out and get in touch. David, thanks so much for your time today, mate. An important conversation, and thanks for having that with us. Appreciate it.
Oh, fantastic. Love you guys.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.